You're listening to event audio from the Brookings Events Podcast, part of the Brookings Podcast Network. For more in-depth analysis and commentary from Brookings scholars and our guests, go to brookings.edu/podcasts or listen via Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Policy Podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for coming. We are really excited to have today Mayor Giuseppe Sala from Milan to share with us his experience and thoughts about Milan's evolution and future as a global city. I want to acknowledge our colleagues from the Italian embassy, Paolo Toschi, and all the excellent staff at the embassy and with the city who helped to make this event possible. This is part of our ongoing work about how cities act and need to transform themselves in the globalized environment. We launched our Global Cities work in 2011, and it is designed to strengthen the international economic connections and competitiveness of city regions in response to a whole range of challenges that are being faced. That involves globalization, but also urbanization, rapid technological changes, and demographic shifts. So over those years, we have been working with research, pilot projects, and a peer network exchange with approximately 45 city regions in 20 states in the United States and 10 countries overseas around solving these issues, finding, codifying solutions to these objectives. The core lesson from all of this work is that being a global city is not about London and Paris and Tokyo and New York. Every city in this changed environment needs to be a global city in its thinking and globally fluent about the way it interacts with the rest of the world. So Milan is a perfect example of a mid-sized city that, after 26 centuries of significance, has still had to transform itself, to reinvent itself, and ensure that it is projecting its relevance and distinctive asset into this increasingly complicated globalized economy, to attract mobile talent, to develop businesses, and to secure capital. Milan is a perfect example for peers like Montreal and Minneapolis and Melbourne, which are dealing with these challenges. And we've seen Milan over the past several years address these questions and emerge as a post-industrial city, a renaissance, to use an Italian term, and a post-industrial city and renaissance that has successfully transitioned into this new environment. Mayor Sala has been involved in all of these efforts in the evolution of Milan. He came from the private sector roles as CEO, Pirelli Tire, and General Director of Telecom Italia. He then transitioned into a civic role, leading perhaps the most catalytic recent event for Milan in the World Expo 2015, which inspired so much of the new kinds of collaboration, confidence, and competitiveness activities that have driven Milan's evolution today. And then he was elected mayor in 2016. So he is here to share a little bit about his vision for Milan's future as a connected metropolitan and global city. And we'll sit down, have a little conversation, welcome your questions, and we will all hope that we visit Milan soon. So, Mayor Sala.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Marek. You could be a perfect marketing manager for Milan. You told them many, many things about Milan. Just to give the dimension of the city, the population is around 1.4 million inhabitants, and the metropolitan area around 3 million. But actually, we are producing 10% of the Italian GDP. We are receiving, we are getting 30% of all the investment from abroad, and 50% of all the investment in the real market in Italy. So now the scope of the visit is to present my city and to present you how it has evolved and transformed itself in a post-industrial era, and the vision that propels it into further advancement. I will try to signify the trajectory of a city that has overcome important challenges from an economic and social point of view, and that is currently experiencing a sort of golden age. I will also talk about the Milano 2030 plan and the next steps that the city intends to take to consolidate its transformation into a contemporary international city. But let me first set the stage with some consideration about cities. As you well know, in an increasingly urbanized world, cities play a major role and have the potential to take the great challenges of our time, from poverty and inequality to climate change and environmental degradation. Cities are, and always have been, the place where change is generated, for better or for worse. They naturally host contradictory phenomena: wealth and poverty, integration and exclusion, cooperation and competition, innovation and conservation. And cities play a key role as economic drivers, as they are a meeting point for different cultures, and as such, a place of creativity and innovation in every field, from technology to culture. Cities are the engine of progress when they create suitable conditions for the attraction and the valorization of talents and skills, and that is the role of Milan in Italy now, which in turn stimulate innovation and economic, civil, and cultural development. Yet cities also present critical issues, and I would like to go deep on that, like unemployment, discrimination, and poverty. In cities, inequalities and economic contradiction are often amplified and exacerbated. The governance of global cities is therefore key. Taking the example of the environmental sustainability, cities can have a considerable impact by introducing innovative measures in their own territory, and in doing so, by influencing national governments and global processes. The potential of a global city does not cancel out the difficulties they have faced and continue to face. If contradictions are not corrected or at least mitigated by politics, they risk paving the way to turmoil and crises even more severe than the ones we experience lately. First, the demographic crisis in all its aspects, from an aging population, and that is our reality because our population is increasing, but precisely in two segments. The old people, because they cannot decide, they stay in Milan, their family, their life is in Milan, and the young generation, for a very different point of view, because they decide to come to Milan, so they choose Milan. Especially in the most developed countries, to the population of some region, to the massive influx of immigrants, and then I will come back to immigration. Second, the decline of the industrial model. In recent years, cities were profoundly hit by the post-industrial crisis, and some were not able to adapt and transform as well as others. Milan itself suffered for a long period of stagnation. Altogether, these aspects led to the exasperation of inequalities between, first of all, between center and peripheries, and in terms of income, opportunities, and access to basic services. And finally, and notably, with respect to the deterioration of the environment in the absence of a decisive and far-sighted governance. While cities represent only 3% of the planet's surface, they are responsible for 2/3 of energy consumption and 75% of carbon emissions. And such percentages will continue to worsen as in the next decades, 95% of the urban expansion is expected to take place in developing countries. Now, let me elaborate on what I believe is the starting point of the success of the contemporary Milan, which is being a city that works well, providing the services the citizen needs in a convenient and fitting manner. Whether we talk about public transportation, waste management, schooling, or cleanliness, for example, Milan is a city that achieves high standards and provides satisfactory services. This paves the way for a meaningful engagement of citizens that are motivated to make their contribution. And now, the value of Milan is based on the Milanese, on the people, because they are seeing where we are going and why we are taking some decision. And so to follow the rules, to be part of the common good. So, first of all, recognizing what we have, let me say the general good functioning of the city and the commitment of its citizens, make it possible to envisage an ambition yet realistic vision for the future. It makes it possible to work for the improvement and development of the city according to its specific needs and on the basis of its strength. And let me talk about Milan 2030. The city of tomorrow can only originate from the city of today, from its social demographic characteristic, from its past failures and successes, from the legacy of those who came before us and collectively steer the city on its development path. Milan has chosen innovation and change as the keywords for the development of an attractive, inclusive, and green city, able to enhance the potential generated by its socio-economic, cultural, ethnic, and generational diversity. The Milan 2030 plan is visionary, yet very concrete, fully grounded on the spirit and potential of a city that is, as Marek reminded you, 26th century old and coherent on its approach of both ambition and solidarity. That is a sort of mantra for me and for the people in Milan. Growth and solidarity. Solidarity, you cannot be solid, give a real action on solidarity if you don't grow, if you don't create new opportunities. At the same time, the people in Milan are not satisfied if only seeing results and target and records if they perceive that we are losing our soul. Apparently, it is very simple, but at the same time, it is the reality. Now, Milan 2030 is focused on creating new green areas among the largest in Europe, particularly from the overhaul of 7 former railway yards that will be converted into parks for 66% of their extension and into housing with a mandatory ratio of affordable housing. In other words, we are seeing that there is a young generation who want to come to Milan. Why? Very simple, because it is an easy city. It is not a big city. The services are working. But we have a problem, houses. So starting from that, and starting from the consideration that there are differences, there are different speeds between center and peripheries, we are getting this opportunity to work on those former railway stations telling the owner of the spaces, yes, you can do whatever you want, but you must leave 65% green, and if you build residential flats, you must leave 30% to moderate price. And that is to connect the opportunities with the real situation of the city. It also means urban regeneration that specifically addresses fractured districts and neglected areas. And we are paying attention to mend those missing links between neighborhood and to foster social cohesion. Our neighborhood-specific plan acts on the living context of citizens by increasing the sustainability of spaces and urban structure and improving their livability while reducing the environmental footprint. For example, and pay attention to this, citizens of Milan have responded particularly well on sharing mobility, shared cars, bicycles, motorcycles, and scooters, for which Milan ranks high on the global scale. Yes, for sure, we built some new metro lines, and we are building the fifth metro line in Milan. And consider that in 2022, in 14 minutes, you could reach the center of the city from the city airport. So landing in Linate, you can reach exactly the center in 14 minutes. But the attitude of the young generation, our effort on the public transportation, has contributed to go to from 73 cars per 100 inhabitants to 51 in 25 years. So we jumped down on 73 to 51, and we are working, having a target of 40 in, let me say, a dozen of years. Our very clear goal, and the one we have put at the center of the Milan's urban development policies, is to realize a city that regenerates and reutilizes its spaces, favoring urban renewal and the reconversion of abandoned, declined, or underused areas. And again, it is not sufficient to tell, I want to build a new place there, a new building there, but you have to connect with public transportation and green. So in some way, the 2030 plan works on three main axes: urban development, mobility system, and green. And two of them are not enough. So point is to find the right equilibrium on that. Architectural innovation plays a fundamental role. For sure, from that point of view, we are in a good condition because, you know, Milan is a city of design, many architects and so on. But again, it is fundamental that the people trust that all urban choices of the last new years derive from this vision, from the new white parks replacing the old rail yard to the renewal of the squares along the trolley bus line. The vision is unanimous and, above all, shared. We are not in favor of referendum. You know that in some European country, like Switzerland, the Swiss make a referendum any single month. But we are in favor of a public debate. So before to implement the 2030 plan, we dedicated some months to the public debate. Because if we do so, then it is easier for me to tell the people, hey, we have a time to discuss, a time to decide, and the time to implement, but we cannot come back. When we decide, we decide. But it is fundamental to involve them in a public debate. So all this is possible without distorting the city physiognomy and identity. And from this point of view, let me say that in Italy, the example of Milan is quite emblematic. As I mentioned, cities are the place where diversity generates innovation and push for change. to improve this role, it is fundamental to fight against the inequalities and restrain the limits and limit the energies catalyzed by cities. If we think about fight against gender inequality, homophobia, or racial discrimination, it is evident that it is the open-minded atmosphere of cities that favor inclusion and the participation of the citizen. But that has to be reality. It cannot be only a public or a political declaration. So, again, from this point of view, now we are working any single day to give a solid demonstration that we are open. You can imagine the difficulty for a mayor from the Democrat side, from the left side, with the immigration issue. Sometimes I say it is easier to be a politician from the right, because now in Europe, because it is very easy to tell we want to close the frontier, we don't want them, we want to live in a secure place. It is very easy. For me, it is more complicated, and the only way I have is to convince my citizens that being open and international, we have many advantages. We attract investment, we increase tourism, we attract university students from abroad. And even you consider immigration a price to be paid, you pay the price, because in a general vision, there is not another opportunity for our city, for a city like Milan. So we are a sort of unicity now in Italy, but we are working on that. And let me go to the end, underlining that, or telling you that this brings me to the importance of a specific city-specific narrative. Global cities compete with each other to attract ideas and innovation, investment, the most promising talent. It is clear. I am competing with London, with Paris, with Berlin to attract university students. I am competing with the other city on the real estate market. The real estate company, they are not splitting the investment between Italy, France, or Germany. They are splitting the investment between Milan, Paris, or Berlin. So it is, from this point of view, to tell the story, to be able to tell the story. It is narrative, it is important. And we believe that a frank, fruitful, and shared narrative around the values and the specificity of the city nurture participation and engagement at all levels, from individuals to complex institutions. At a time where negative storylines often dominate the political discourse and contribute to create distance and fracture within our communities, I feel that telling the story of what works, what needs to improve, and how everyone can bring about such improvement is extremely valuable. It makes people feel that they can be part of history, that their contribution is worth. In conclusion, Milan is a city with 26 centuries of history, some of it particularly glorious. Let's think, for instance, about the remarkable invention of Leonardo da Vinci, a champion of his time who chose Milan as his home for over 20 years. And in that period, 22 years were a very, very long period, as the best environment for his talents to bloom and his ideas to be nurtured. And this year we celebrate 500 years from Leonardo's death, and I invite you to visit Milan and explore the many legacies of the genius. I believe that in the past 10 to 15 years, Milan has been able to make a quantum leap forward, remaining true to its tradition and to the distinctive elements of its DNA, industrious, innovation, culture, solidarity, to tell very clear that rights has to be associated to duties. So starting from that, the city has embraced challenge. I myself feel part of this virtuous process. My predecessor built a solid budget for me to be able to propose to my fellow citizen the step forward in a direction of a more international, more innovative, more inclusive, and fully contemporary city. For Milan, now it is the time to invest in internationalization, in integration, in being a champion of environmental issues and other prominent themes. The reason why the conversation we are having today is significant is that with no pretentiousness, in order to advance its knowledge and vision, the city of Milan must nowadays look and learn from other cities across the globe. I don't want to appear arrogant, but I cannot learn from now. I cannot learn from Rome. I cannot learn from Florence. I can learn from Los Angeles, from Denver, from Shanghai. So that is the reason for which we spend a lot of time maintaining a relationship with the other mayor, like Eric Garcetti in Los Angeles, so Anne Hidalgo in Paris. But that is really fundamental for me. This is part, because this is part of a new era, the diplomacy of cities, which I'm glad you follow closely. I am available for any observation and question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mayor, for those comments. You highlighted a whole series of issues that we've been dealing with your counterpart cities for a long time. I'll start actually with the last point, which is about your global identity and how Milan can distinguish itself effectively in this increasingly crowded global marketplace of cities. At one point, there were 60 cities that were internationally significant competing with each other for those assets that you mentioned. Now there are 600 cities. And increasingly we see cities articulating themselves in very generic ways. You know, you could interchange a video promotion between two cities that we've been working with, and they have happy dancing, diverse millennials on a waterfront. The difference is one is, you know, labeled one city name, and the other is another city name. So you identified some core DNA in your description of Milan. How do you articulate that effectively, and in how do you define Milan more specifically when you're talking about it to distinguish from Berlin or Amsterdam or Barcelona or any of these other places that you're competing with?
First of all, creativity is fundamental for us. We are the city of design, we are the city of fashion, and now even of food, that is part of the creativity. And this work quite well, even due to universities. We have 14 universities and 200,000 university students out of 1.4 million inhabitants. You see, it's a lot. So that is fundamental because on that you create industry, you create opportunity, you create tourism. To give an example, during the Design Week, we host 600,000 people in a week. And it is fundamental because they, are they coming for business or leisure? Who knows? Is it fundamental? And having so many fair any months, that is not a real reason for which the people decide to come to Milan. And when they come to Milan and they see that the city is working, probably they go home and they tell Milan is working and someone think to invest in Milan and so on. So the real difference between Milan and the other city is that everybody take creativity is a good thing, yes, but you have to be a real and the sound place to be implemented. And then, and second, is the, let me say, the management diversity. And again, I'm forced to go back to immigration and issue that is not a very simple issue. But in Italy, we have 9% of immigrants. That is not a big number, even if looking at the political debate, it appears a war. In Milan, we have 20%, but Milan is working. Why? Because it is we are good in integrating, attracting talent, sometimes hosting people who is escaping from a war. But again, this is not theory. It is working. And one little thing, but very decisive, is the role of women. In terms of employment, we are reducing unemployment. We are around now, around 7%. That is, for you, it's an enormous percentage. But in Europe, let me say, it's a sort of physiological percentage. But in the last 2-3 years, the employment of female had a real boom. And they are occupying a role in STEM discipline and creativity, architecture. So, again, it is also a value for the image of the city and for the opportunities of the families. Again, we made some steps. Now we see a new frontier, a new opportunities. But it is easier to tell a story of the future when you can, when the present past can tell everybody we make it.
Right, and I think that actually you answered as well. And going back to the history of Da Vinci and the creativity that Milan is known for, that has been reestablished with competency, and your point about openness, can you describe a little bit more solidarity and what that really means? That seems to be a distinctive asset of Milan that has translated both to your the renewed vibrancy and openness of the city, but also that's distinctive from other places.
I want to be a very practical man. As you said, I used to be a manager in the private sector, so now I'm completely a politician, but I don't want to forget my past attitude. First of all, in terms of expenses, in terms of investment, we invest most of our budget in welfare. And that is true. Not only housing, it's a problem. We own 70,000 apartments. That means 150,000 people. And again, out of 1.4 million, it means that 12% of the people live in our houses. So that is the result of course, many years of activities. My predecessor made a difference. It is not simple, but again, having this success, this momentum, the point is to reinvest everything in welfare and trying to avoid this risk of two-speed cities. The center that is smart, brilliant, vibrant, and the peripheries that can be abandoned. So honestly, we are investing a lot of money. And then, of course, diversity. Again, when we say we are open to the LGBT community, we are open to everybody, we are open to the refugees, again, has to be not only an idea, but it means to work on the specific issues. In this period, you know that the government in Italy is on the right, on a very clear right, and at the end of the day, I'm probably the last mayor, left mayor in Italy. So they are working to cancel the rights of the refugees if they don't have the permissions to stay in Italy. Where is the problem? That the time between the landing in Italy, the landing with the boats in Sicily, and the final decision to allow that or to give that the permission takes up to 2 years. In the meantime, according to our government, they don't have the rights, the common rights. If you go to the hospital, you cannot enter, or you can pay, you cannot pay. So in Milan, we said, okay, we did it. So we pay for them. It is not simple, but again, you cannot open or close the door depending the specific situation. You open the door or you close the door. So we decide to open the door.
So coming from the private sector before your move to government, a lot of the transitions that we see in terms of competitiveness relates to the role of the private sector in collaboration with the public sector. How do you view that in Milan and the role of business anchored to place, what contributions they might make, how you collaborate or do not collaborate with the private sector in the region?
For me, the most important thing is that they believe that in terms of bureaucracy or red tapes, we work better than the other cities. So we reduce time, we are reliable if we are committed. Let me give you a very, very little example. A couple of weeks after my election, I received the Apple management, and they came to me telling me we want to build the best store in Europe and Milan. Good news. So why not? And they said, because we have a problem, because the store is located in a little square that is 80 meters from the dome, and we need to close the square for 1.5 years. So at the first time, I thought it is a disaster, it is impossible. Then I opened a political discussion and I told the people, yes, I know, it's a problem. It's a problem because our square will be given them for a long period. But at the end of the day, we will have an enormous, magnificent store. And trust me, after them, others, international company will come to Milan with the intention to take a challenge. And so we maintain the time, the timing, and Apple opened. Then we had the main square close to the Duomo that was abandoned by the banks because the banks need spaces, so they decided to go to the peripheries, or not peripheries, the semi, the middle center where the new urbanization took place. So we were running the risk to have those buildings abandoned. But after the Apple example, Howard Schultz from Starbucks called me and he told me my dream is to come back to Milan because I learned the magical of coffee in Milan. Could you help me? And again, that I'm it's not all gold for sure, but again, in the same square, after a short time, Starbucks came, and now Uniqlo, the Japanese company, is came. So, for me, it is fundamental to tell the private partners we are committed. I tell you, I can't, or if I tell you I can, then I will be with you. Of course, the World Expo 2015 was fundamental from this point of view. I used to be the manager for that, and probably the reason for which I'm here that is that after the Expo, the Democrat asked me to run for them. But again, that was an example. Because, you know, with these big events, normally the people at the beginning, they don't trust. They see a problem, they see risk, any sort of risk. But the private company, understanding the opportunity, for sure they seeing me and part of them system, they accepted the challenges, and that was fundamental, because it was a mess, it was a bet. We won the bet, and after that, we jumped from 5 million tourists per year to 9 million tourists, and now we are stable, or still increasing. So you, again, at the end, you have to take challenge, but you cannot take challenge alone. It is better to have partners.
Right. So in the transition from Milan, from a heavy industrial economy into the current economy, which still has a lot of manufacturing, and what do you see as the most important enablers or investments that the city has focused on as part of, you know, even the 2030 effort to ensure that Milan is competitive in the international marketplace, given the post-industrial environment? Is there anything in particular that you think was significant?
No, I believe that it is fundamental not to work on a single aspect. It would be a disaster to say, for us, tourism is everything. Even for Italy, it is better to say we want to be headquarters for finance, we want to work on tourism, we want to see our university being very attractive. We want to work on creativity. So we are. When I started working in 1983, Milan was an industrial city. Then, after that, we lost a lot of industry, like many, many cities. For a decade, we lived in the dream that finance could solve everything. So banks, the stock exchange, and in Italy, stock exchanges in Milan, and so on. And then we understood that it was not possible. Part of the story. But so then we opened the opportunity. So it's this mixed model, but everything has to work together. So why university? Because you guarantee the company from abroad that they can find a good degree and so on. So the point is to put all together.
Are there particular activities that you're undertaking to promote innovation and these kinds of connections in Milan?
Innovation is fundamental. Innovation is fundamental because, I mean, even, again, design is not furniture. Design is innovation. Design means to participate to the new tools, to the new cars, to the new equipment. Everything is design. So what is innovation? It's not simple to be defined. But again, working on some solid pillar like university and design and creativity, it is better.
I'm interested in starting to take questions from you all, so if there are any in specific, and I'm going to try and collect, I'm going to try and collect a few at the same time, and in order to get through several. So one, two, and three, and then I'll go through another cycle. Go ahead. And we have a microphone over here. So if you, and please try to make it short and a question as opposed to a statement. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Katerina. I am from Ukraine, and I work for anti-corruption organization Transparency International Ukraine. I am interested in anti-corruption work in Milan, how it is going on.
All right. Anti-corruption. Right there.
My name is Sakura Namioka. My question is, many cities more moving to regional development scale. So I like to know Milano's regional type of development, how you can do coordinate with the city and the region.
Terrific question. And one right there. Yes, sir.
Michael Kellingart, formerly Brookings, formerly Council for the United States in Italy. Could you say a little bit about the political context in which all this has been taking place, obviously not in a vacuum? And in particular, in what ways has the political situation in Milan differed from other cities, and help bring about the results that you've talked about.
Okay. That's going to be hard to consolidate those different questions. Although political context and regional development are significant, or related. I leave it to you to figure out how to answer this diversity
question.
To mix and match.
Now let me tell you some what about the political situation in Milan and in Italy, because it is clear that now all the debates in Italy, in Europe, and very well, is about the confrontation between populists and I don't know how to call the other one, Democrat, not populist. For me, it is fundamental even to work on the difference between cities and countryside, because this is the reality. So my message can be delivered in a city. But if we're going to a small village, it is difficult to say, yeah, but being open to the world, you get advantages. What is the advantages? So now, Milan has the duty to keep the position, and every day I am asked to tell something about the Milan model. And I cannot reply my model. But I tell, we are here now because we started 20 years ago. Why now Milan is in a golden age and Rome is in a very difficult period? Because there the public services does not work. Public transportation, waste management, and so on. So it is fundamental now to tell everybody in Italy that we can do it. It is difficult, yes, it is, but I don't know how much time we will need to modify the country, because now the country is in a difficult period. But not having champion like Milan, it will be the end. So that is the reason for which the Liga, the party who is managing it, who is at the government, want to take Milan. And I'm reacting. But at the same time, my citizens feel the pride to be different, to be resistant, and to not accept to lose the soul, the democratic spirit which is at the base of our country. I don't want to say that fascism is coming back to our country, but there are many parties that are too tolerant towards fascism. So that is, for all this reason, and here I try to put together anti-corruption, we have problem for the simple reason that being the richest city in Italy who want to corrupt come to Milan. So the way is try to find a cooperation with you, with the other, I don't know, with the lawyer, with the professor who spend his life to that. So the public administration has to be very honest and to understand that alone, you can do nothing. So find alliances. Even because, third question, one of the worst things in Italy is that we never made reforms for the public administration, the public system. When I explain what is Italy to people from abroad, sometimes joking, but it is a tremendous joke, I say, the first Italian government after the Second World War was established in 1943, when apparently the war was finishing. Now, from 43 to now are 76 years. In 76 years, we had 71 governments. in that, so for the reason that the government have a short time and the political system tend to be very prudent with revolution in terms of reforms and so on. The real reform was made for the mayor. So the mayor has 5 years or two mandates, 10 years. So in 10 years, you can do many things. It is not simple to work with the region and other part of the system, because in Italy we have 80,000 cities or villages, 20 regions, 88 provinces, and 14 metropolitan cities. It's a disaster. It is impossible. It is impossible. So now there is a debate in Italy, because the region are asking more autonomy. And I'm trying to defend the position, because the region, but why the region? The cities have a long, long history. The region were established in 1948. So why we decide to give the some new possibilities to the region? So it's a very interesting discussion, but again, this is the reason for which the cities, and mainly Milan, has to maintain the position.
And so the greater region around Milan, beyond the 3 million in the core metro, is
or Lombardy is the region where Milan is.
It's appropriate that Chicago is your sister city, because they have even greater fragmentation than you have. Or do you find there are issues that you do collaborate with, can collaborate on with your counterparts in the wider area that represents workforce or business exchange, or is the private sector playing a role in bringing those assets together?
No, we collaborate, but I mean, now think to the northern Italy, all the region, all the main region, Lombardy, Veneto, and so on, are in the Liga hands. So only Milan is a sort of a red point in a region, and so it is not easy for us. At the end of the day, we want to be very pragmatic. For this, we are running to host the Olympic Winter Games 2026, and the proposal is Milan plus Cortina, that is a city on the Dolomite, and again, when it is necessary, we work together.
Right. This actually resembles what happened here between Washington and Baltimore, that actually a competitive bid that inspired more collaboration between the two. We have a few more moments. I see three questions. I'll take them quickly. One, two, and three. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. My name is Mina Marafat, and I'm with the MIT alumni and with Design Research. You mentioned some indirect things, such as transportation and green parks, but what very specific actions is Milan and you taking towards climate change and action or actions? I've asked this question from 100 mayors, by the way.
Specific actions around climate change. There were other hands up in the back, just two more. One there and then one back over here.
It's Infrastructure Week this week, so thank you for being here. We have to learn from cities like Milan. So for every dollar that we invest in infrastructure, we have $3.7 return back in economic growth. When we talk about resiliency in infrastructure, we talk about adaptation of technology. In what cases has Milan, these are some cases we can learn from, adapting artificial intelligence, the blockchain, IoT, and so on, to make the city smarter as well.
And there was one more question, or did the hand go down? Right over here.
Hi, Hi, thank you so much for such an interesting presentation. You said that you've managed in the last few years to decrease unemployment and increase women's participation in the labor force in Milan. What policies or investments have you made to increase women's participation in the workforce?
All right, so we have two related climate infrastructure smart cities response about specific
and the last one that is women. The most difficult.
Right.
Now, in term of environment and infrastructure, we are investing first of all in public transportation, creating new metro lines, but also we are investing 2 billion in 7 years to replace all the buses into electrical buses. And that for us is an enormous effort. But in 2027, let me say, no more carbon gasoline buses will circulate in Milan. We are planting 3 million trees, again, part by the public administration, by the municipality. But also, we use some other possibility, like, for instance, if you want to build there, you have to pay a fee to the municipality to build there. We split the payment, for instance, 50% cash and part in planting trees or taking care of spaces. So we don't want to lose any single opportunity to have green in the city. Even the famous vertical, in English, bosco verticale? The vertical, do you know the vertical forest? Is that building where the balcony there are trees that is quite futurist, but it works. So we don't want to lose any single opportunity. And this makes the pair with infrastructure and the digital innovation. I've been told that it's critical to speak about 5G in the USA. With my government that is making some funny things with the Chinese, but I mean it's everything under control. So, but again, we are covered at 78% with 5G, and again it's an opportunity because we tell the people why go to my office to get a certificate, stay at home and I send you the certificate. So we are creating an atmosphere, a feeling for which the situation can change. I've been told that here in Washington, the traffic is under reduction. I don't know if it is true, due to the homework and due to the possibility that part of the people stay home and working at home. That is a criticism for us. We don't. Our system is not still able to manage this opportunity because it is an opportunity. Female employment. In reality, we don't have real possibilities, or we are not having a real action. Let me say, we are working on some symbolic action. My vice mayor is a female. Most of the councillors are female. We are open to all the municipal company, to the female management, and we are not opening, we are forcing on that. But apparently, it's the system that is understanding it, that from our universities, we are seeing, even in the STEM universities, the result of the female student are better, and even the number of female or women we decide to move from the secondary schools to universities is higher for the women. So, again, it's a question of common atmosphere, and apparently it's working. The results are telling us that it is working.
I just want to ask one concluding question that relates again to Milan in the as a global city. You, unlike a lot of other mayors, when you first became mayor, you really seemed to prioritize these kinds of international engagements. You were willing to leave the city and visit other places and be part of the city diplomacy, city networks, and seemed to prioritize that. When a lot of mayors start with, I need to deal with things at home, my citizens don't tolerate my travel abroad, could you talk about how you view the role of cities in diplomacy and the importance of being involved in these city networks?
It is fundamental for me, not only for the reason that I told you before, I want to learn, and to learn, it is better to study with the best one, but also because sometimes when I apply in Milan, when I decide in Milan for action that are not easy to be implemented, it can become easier if I tell my citizen, yes, but that action is under development in Paris or in Chicago, in other cities. Letting me give you again an example to explain what I'm saying. Some year ago, we implemented a congestion charge area in the center of Milan. So you pay to enter. Very simply, you pay to enter. Now, we are, and you can imagine at the end, many discussions. Now, after 7 years, we are having a decrease of 40% in traffic in the center. Now, we are implementing a very, very tough measure, that is a low emission zone that is putting all the city with cameras, and just now it is not possible to enter into the city with the more polluting cars, the Euro diesel 0, 1, 2, 3. But then, having the system, having the cameras, having the education, we can go ahead. So we approved a plan for which in 2 years, also even the Euro 4 cannot enter into the city. So for a mayor, it's not simple to tell the elector you cannot use the car. But if environment is a problem, we cannot avoid to do that. Again, when I decide and when I explain to the citizen what we are ready to do, they know that Milan and the mayor of Milan is one of the vice president of C40, that is a partnership between the main cities in the world. So they defend me in some way. So having this attitude, the people can accept easier, because I tell I want to go there, because even the other cities are going there. So it is not everything so easy, so clear. But I totally believe that being part of this innovation and these the trends, and trying to not to only to defend the city from the progress, but trying to condition, trying to modify the progress, it's an opportunity. And apparently, the city in Milan is understanding the lesson. Now, I will tell you for sure in 2021 with the new election, because who knows? But for sure, and let me conclude inviting you to visit Milan, because honestly, it's a city under a very deep transformation. You can see. Not a big city, but a city where you could appreciate history, past, architecture, 26th century of history, but also an enormous window on the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.